about the Crusaders. This goes with the together with Arz Elvonain, the Tzoros of Klal Yisrael. It's an inyan to be miyachid all the Tzoros of Klal Yisrael, Dafkan Tisha B'Av. The Balakina says it, that we're not supposed to be moisiv other days. And that's why Klal Yisrael brings in all the other Tzoros that have happened to Klal Yisrael. Tisha B'Av is the day of Churban, it's the Zman of Churban, and that's why you talk about it. There's a piece here that is there's a piece here about what happened, which is again and again you see it, and it's where parents, they're surrounded by the Crusaders, and the parents are kill themselves, their children themselves, in order that they shouldn't chas v'sholem get geshmat. And he says, and they say, "Lezachinu legadelcham l'Torah." We weren't zeichet v'megaliot v'Torah. Nakrivchem ke'oila v'aktara. We'll bring as a carbon. V'niske machem la'oira hatzfunem in kol v'aluma. And time and again, this terrible nisayon of killing the children so that they wouldn't become goyim. In the Kleisenberger Rebbe used to speak about some of the emuna of Pashta Yidden. He said there was a person together with him when they were first rounding up the Jews. He said the person was a very, very Pashta person, really Pashta person. And he had three daughters, and he was, and somebody, a goy, offered to take them. So he came to speak to the Rebbe about it. And he said, the person told him, he's afraid that maybe after it's over, they won't come back. They won't want to come back. So the Rebbe said, it's a sfek sfeika. First of all, the war might not last that long. They may want to come back, this and that. If they stay with you, they're going to be killed. It's a question of days. Do it. Back and forth. And finally, the Yid turned to the Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, he said, you're my Rebbe. And anything you'll say or paskin, I'll do. Up to my children. My children, I'm not going to give away. And I can't. I'm not going to give a child into a matziv. But as a suffix, that he won't be a Yid. And the Rebbe would say over the story with his spilos, he said, you know, he said the person was a really Pashta person, not a big Baal Maila, not Baal Dagger, but he said the sense of not giving away the child was was something so deep ingrained that every sacrifice, everything, that's a red line, and that line is not going to go past. There's something else that needs to be mentioned. Yikase l'diroin oilam, for eternal shame. After the war, Rav Herzog, Zayin of Racha, chief rabbi in Israel, came to the Pope with a list of 10,000 Jewish kids that they had. In other words, they had a list of 10,000 that had been given over to goyim, to private goyim, to covenants, whatever it is, asking him to instruct the people to release them. And he said he's sorry, but the church canon is that once they're baptized, they belong to the church and they can't be released. L'diroin oilam, when it collapses, this will be the kernel of the collapse. Ratzachta v'gam yirashta, that starting with the Crusaders on, all of the shvichas damim that they had caused, the religion of love, the shvichas damim, and finally, after the worst of it all, to coldly hide behind some shmata of canon, l'diroin oilam zelu maser of Klal Yisrael holding out their children, and we're muftachin every list neshama is coming back and we'll come back to Klal Yisrael. The next kina is based on the Gemara in Gittin. Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol had a son and a daughter. They were captured. Each one was sold into slavery individually. Each one, the two Adonim, two masters, happened to meet each other. Each one was boasting about how beautiful his slave is made, and they decided they'll, if they mate them, they'll have very wonderful children. They threw them in one night into a room. They didn't touch each other. In the morning, they realized who they were, and they started crying until they died. That's the story, and that's the kinnah on that. There's a lot in the kinnah here that is especially the Morim Brachis on Vayhai Shufa the Bali Ba'ara, that if there's something that's worth crying over, it's Yoifi. Yoifi is something that is a chibur of neshama and guf in a certain way. The Tiferes of Klal Yisrael is Beis HaMikdash. And the noisei kavod in Tiferes in the Beis HaMikdash of the Kohanim. The Beis HaMikdash is called Beis Tifarteinu. The Kohen is not allowed to be Perua Roish. The Begodim are the Kavod of Tiferes. The Bigdei Zohav, the Kohen Gadol was Mestap every week. The Melech was the center of Ema. That was the yichud of the Melech. The yichud of the Kohen Gadol was the Tiferes. The Godim were called Tiferes. Hashpola, when something that is b'yoyfi is avdus, is the opposite. Avdus is shiflus. Avdus is kuli shiflus. And that the Kohen Gadol's son and daughter are sold into avdus. That's something that is a tremendous hashpola Klal Yisrael, and it's something that we have a very hard time. It's something that breaks our spirit more than anything else. But the kahuna, it was not a kahuna chalol. This was a real Kohen Gadol. This was someone that whose blood flowed the blood of Kedushas Aaron. And his children had the Kedusha of Aaron, and they had the Kavod Tiferes. Each one of them, what was their musa? What was their conversation with themselves that allowed them to refrain from arayas? You're talking about two young people in no place, gone from their home, they'll never come back again, they're lost. And they're in Rome, which is the center of Tumah, and they're tossed in with a shifcha or an evet. And each one said to himself, I, a Basque Kohen Gadol, can't stoop to an evet. I, a ben of Aaron HaKohen, of Kedushas Aaron, can't stoop to shifcha. Their sense of Kedusha and beauty was what kept them, that they died the Kedusha of Atara, even in the Chevy of Rome. The pieces, you see just the general sense of good, and sometimes it's a chisaron. And when things fall apart, you begin to realize each and every part. The next kinah is a kinah that goes through all the halakim of the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi Abadim, Kodesh Kadoshim, Pnei Akise, Asor Shulchanais, Yochanan Boaz, and so on. And it goes through it because again, in when it was standing, it was a Beis HaMikdash. When it was Charev, each and every single one was Charev in its way. There's one piece here that I would like to stop a minute. It's Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's like third or fourth paragraph. It says, Kodesh HaKadoshim mi beis Kodesh kinivdad. When the Kodesh HaKadoshim was separated from the Kodesh, Sachta ve'lalta holy shudad, you yelled out that my Beis HaMikdash is Charev. Ve'namta ake kafal kafe kashedad. You said you're going to clap your hands in tzar and so on. He says Kodesh doesn't base Kodesh kenivdot. It says in the Gemara that Titus of Russia, it says Kimchot Chinah Tochan. It's like somebody took flour that was already ground and grinds it again. The Beis Hamikdash, it says, was harvard because of the Averis, and Titus just took care of the outside. The point of it is the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself is almost non-existent. We don't go in there. Kohen Gadol goes in once a year. There's no kli of avoda in it, and we do an avoda with an outside kli. The Kohen Gadol does zrika on Yom Kippur. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, if it were to disappear, we wouldn't really see it disappearing. In other words, we don't use it. But the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it's just like a neshama in a person. You don't see it, but it is the person. And the whole guf and all its trappings is worthless without the neshama. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's not Tefes Mokoim. The Aron was Nignaz. And Be'etzim, you can't be machrib the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But what you can do is you can separate the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the Kodesh. If a person takes out the Nekuda Pnimius from the Beis HaMikdash, the whole it's like somebody takes the battery out of a big tchotchke. So the whole tchotchke is worthless without the battery. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's what he says, the Kodesh HaKadoshim wasn't charev, but he says it became separated, disengaged from it. And once he says Kodesh HaKadoshim is Kodesh Kenivdot. As soon as it was isolated, it was separated from the Beis HaMikdash, Sachta Ve'lalta, you cried out a holy shudah. Because that was the Churban Beis HaMikdash. When we disengaged Torah and the Kedusha from Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash was Charev. Titus just finished up the job, but the Churban was there at that point. Al Churban Beis HaMikdash one is also part of those Gzeiris and Puranias and on the Crusader Tkufa, all the Kehillas along the Rhine that were killed and so on. It was such a common phenomenon. They have their kinnis we have that we don't even know which one exactly is, but it's one of those. But it says over here, and like in all of them, just I picked here, it says, Al Yichud Shema Miyuchud Yichdu Shem B'Gvura. We need to understand something about Christianity. First of all, Klal Yisrael, the Oivim of Klal Yisrael, the Sonim of Klal Yisrael, the Deiroi Sehem, were interested in something else. They were interested in the land, and the people, in the nationhood. Whether it was Rome, whether it was Greece, they would be upset if you didn't worship their Alilim, because that was like part of the company policy, that anybody who's Greek worships Greek gods. Anyone who's this. But it wasn't a faith based issue. It was that they were conquerors, like all conquerors, and they came for spoils and for land and for slaves. And they also liked to impose whatever their sense of it. Also, Avodah Zarah is not even, it's a very low-level stira to the musik of Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not even holding there. It's a primitive latching on to Teitzim and Avonim, and many Teitzim and Avonim, and that's that. The musik of a religious war, Bedafka, and is the Neitzrim, the pogroms, the Crusader pogroms are the started it, and from then on there would always be with the edge about the Jews. And more than that, they're not Oved Avodah Zarah. They are coming to Dingzich on Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other Avodah Zarahs, yes, it's true that if you worship sticks and stones, there's going to be an awful lot of sticks and stones around to worship. But they were holding way before any serious clash with Amunah. It's a different planet. The Neitzim were those who had this the Amunah that it's not Yichud. And that's why it was such a sinner. They had to bend over triple, literally, to they needed a trinity to get to Yichud, because it didn't work without that. So they needed a twisted, contorted, they needed to hold on to Yichud, because the Torah speaks about Yichud, and Klal Yisrael was made on Hashem Echad, but they lehed you were coming lafuke from Yichud. So the people who were killed in these and were moisa nefesh, not to convert, that's a genuine being moisa nefesh on Yichud Yisbarach. The next two Chavav Chav Zayin are really sort of two parts of one kina. It's built on a chazal that says Yirmiyahu saw a woman, and he wasn't sure. It was a very, very strange woman, and he asked, "Are you a woman? Are you a shade?" And Bekitza, she basically said she is the embodiment of Klal Yisrael. She described herself. She's one. She's three. She's seven, and so on. She's the embodiment of Klal Yisrael, and she pushed him to go to Avis, to Kivra Avis, to Marzah Pela, and invoke the Avos' chus and wake them up, waken them. They should mispal for Klal Yisrael. It says they went to mispalol. That's going back now to the first one, where Yirmi went and he was mispalol, and each of the Avos are Hakadosh Baruch Hu answers them. Why their schus is not good enough. The final phrase is that Rachel is the one whose schus he accepts. So I want to talk about both these nekudas. The second one, which is the first one, really, it says, Pilal tchina lefnei koina, moli rach migraf al-bnoi, soak mala av shigel al-bnoi. So he says, Yom Yo was the spalta kodesh baruch, and he said, Rachmanet, Rebbein Shalom, have rachmanes on us like a father's merachim on a son. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu answered, "Ma la'ov shiglas bonei v'gam oyle ben shalshuch ha'ovi v'enoi." Yes, it's a tremendous tzar that the father lost the child. So he says to him, "Therefore, kum lecha Yirmiyah, lo masech she. Why are you quiet? Lech kro la'ovis v'aron v'moishe. Call out to the ovis v'aron v'moishe." Royim yavo kinali nase, and they should come and they should say to be kina bechi and so on. So you see that whenever we invoke a midah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu to rachem on us, then we need to do it ourselves in order to be zeicher to it. So Yirmiyah said kirachim of al banim, he wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu should use the midah of being merachim of al banim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, "Well, where are the avos of Klal Yisrael? Why don't I see the expression of rachmi of al banim from Klal Yisrael on HaKadosh, from Klal Yisrael on their children, from the avos?" And that's why. So the first thing is, and whenever you try to get, whenever you want to use some midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to mispalel, you need to do it yourself. It's one of the reasons why the Talmud Dvar is a sefer that the Moshe Kodavira was miyasid, a Musa sefer, to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anhagis of Yud Gimel Midas. It's not an easy sefer, not easy mitzvah. The content's not so easy to do it, obviously, in the different shades. But the reason why he felt it's important is because if we come to be Tevea Schus Avis, then we need to be sure that we're shleimim ourselves in that Schus Avis. And that's why he dafka needed to have that. So anytime when we spal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever tefillah is palal, we need to at least bring out some element that meet in ourselves. The Ramban says that they were mispalal by the Meraglim with 9 meters, not 30 meters, because 4 of those meters they couldn't say about themselves. One of them was the Mayas Beretz Yisrael and so on. That's one of the. And then when he went, we talk about it almost every year. When he went to look for schusim, everybody's schus had a counterpoint. The only one whose schus didn't really have a counterpoint was Rachel, because Rachel did something that was selfless. And when somebody does something that's totally selfless, she gave away the simonim, and without expecting anything in reward whatsoever. Everything would be bad for her because of it. She would have to end up marrying Esau and not getting married. Yaakov would forever be angry at her. The Shvatim would be noiled from her sister. The schusim that a person bears to... The schusim that work for a person are the schusim that had nothing in it for the person. There's a sort of halach ruach. There's an attitude that whatever a person does, you should try to think about how it'll, you know, the sort of the fringe benefits of it. We don't understand that sometimes the fringe benefits destroy the ikar benefit. A maisa toiv that has a few little frills of hanos atzmoi, besides it's because we're not kapei aschar. But the big schusim are those things that a person didn't take anything for himself out of it. Oz baloich yomiyol kivrei avoyz v'no matzomoyz chavivoyz matem shoichvoyz v'nei yudeho shuvu smimilum chaschem alei amalei kol mishaseichem sholachti bovelomanchem ini mishoivev golos v'neichem Oz bimloy sefek yofa kisir tzo heiner olam tzorku chutzo ben chilke meyamon ki yotzo ishi yifastoyam nuvelas motzo kos hani alayich b'shem alihim v'od im shed le shed im mat und ibn yodom du mus yof ich ke bas ob dom pacht der ros ich mal och im lev dom hey le shed ani be le goil am pacha you do a isi be shuva ve nachas ve nach da ni le shlo next kinder ich te nach muni hevel nichumim is something that is very difficult because I need to find a bright spot. I need to be able to say, okay, you lost A, you have B. I need to be able to have a point of reference so that I can say what's good, what's left, and so on. And when a person tries to push off somebody with things that are not true, that are not good, it leaves us with a very bad taste. So he goes through and he says, whatever nichumim you're giving me, Anichumim Hevel. I lost everything. There's nothing left. Beis Hamikdash, Klal Yisrael, and so on and so forth. The final piece, the final is Shuvoseichem Nisharu Mimal. Nisharu Mal. All of the replies of hope that there is for the Geula are. Mal is Loshen Sheker, and they're all false hopes. Honuni Oivdei Abal, the Oivdei Abal have been chapping me with false hopes. And now he says, Ad Yashkif Mimal. So he's not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Gula. The Yashkif Mimal means, we said before that every Hanhog of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is its mirror image to us. Al-Hashkif is a very far, it's when somebody looks out on the distance, that's called Hashkafa. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megal himself, in a B'china that's called Hashkafa, it means we detect him, but he's very, very far away. You find a lot of places there was a psura before something happened. The mile of that is because mitzad nechumim, I have in what to be menachem. If lamashal, if somebody's waiting for a package and it hasn't come, the person's distraught. When he gets a notification that it's been mailed out already, it's on its way. It started the first step, even if it takes a long time, but the person at least knows it's there. In other words, we can't be misnachem now because there's nothing really that we have that we could point at and say, oh, here you have something, it's good enough, or it's going, or whatever it is. The tefillah is, Kadosh Baruch Hu should at least give us a thread something from a far off thing, but at least we know. We know that this is where we're headed to, and Emes Hashem, at some point, this is where Yeshua will come from. So not only before we mispowel even for a complete Yeshua, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mashkev mimal, and it will be the first in that hashkafa that we sense in the distance something is happening already, that's where we'll have the first nichum on the Beis HaMikdash. Eich nachamuni hevel v'chineh. Next kina, he has here a line that expresses the yichud of the Mulchamis now. It says, Hein le'umim eisnik batzu, chai olecha kreis bris kichafatzu, al amcha yirmasoy v'yisayatzu. He says, the goyim get together when they want to attack HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they attack Klal Yisrael instead. This is something that is a recent meaning the last millennium. It used to be the nations fought over land, and that was that. And yes, it was automatic that if you're fighting with your God, they're fighting with their God, and there's also God involved in it. But the Etzem Milchama was on land, Shalal, Avadim, and so on. From the time that the Christians started shepherding with us, the Musig, and followed by Ishmaelim, the Musig that it be a war, and against, if Klal Yisrael represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Klal Yisrael needs to be put down. If Klal Yisrael is kaifer in this or that, we need to put down Klal Yisrael. That's why at the end, we ask for nakama. One of the few kinnis where we ask, okay, al gemulas nashalem, a whole section, because nakama for a person is meaningless. In other words, if someone hurt me, him getting hurt is not going to help me. If somebody shows he's better than me by hurting me, that's when there's a problem. The musig of nekama here is because they saw in the battle a chiruf and giduf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not enough that they stop being mechayev gadol, we need to have something to push back. We need somebody to show the micha meicha be'ilmim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the kol yochel, and he was holding out simply because of whatever reason it is that he held out. So the bakasha for nekama is in sync with the description of the milchamas that we have with Yishmael today. It's not just about the piece of land of Eretz Yisrael. There's that undertone of Klal Yisrael, because whenever they want to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they fight against Klal Yisrael. They know Klal Yisrael is the embodiment of Torah and Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, hitting them will hit back at the, will hit back Kaviyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amarti shumeni b'vchia amore, ma nafshi b'luchi. Next kines, moine shamayim shchokim is b'lucha. It says, moine shamayim shchokim is b'lucha, melei mehoitcha. It says that the heavens are full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teferis. They can't possibly contain the entire Shechina. So how could the Beis HaMikdash? And then it says, Matoiv Manoim Shiftchem Reim Bekanfitz Atzuim Yaren Hoyim Levov Livnois Habayis. And then it proceeds weiter. Noor Avosar Slamecho Kemachasech and so on. There's a Tmiya here. And the Tmiya is, there's no such thing as a bias for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anytime you talk about a bias, you're talking about some enclosure, some end. So, what shayach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have a bias? It's be'etzem not shayach. The one place that could be an hug of a bias is, like we spoke before, the chibur and the kesher of Ish and Isha is an abayas. The chibur and the kesher of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chabrichu, and Klal Yisrael is an abayas. The abayas for Hashem doesn't exist. Abayas for Shechina and Klal Yisrael exists. The you can add to it. It says, you know, kind of ziza rechimta, that when people are in, when there's tremendous awe between people, they can even both sit at the edge of a knife. Ava is something the Gemara says it shrinks, it allows, it gives room for everything. So he's answering the second phrase answers the first one. All the Shemayim and the world all over has no place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is minutic from place, but Ava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael together have a makom, and that's that makom. And wherever there's Ava that Sheira, there's, by definition, there's never limitations of makom. Moinei Shamayim Shchokim Yizbelucha Pizmin sort of Eish Tukat Bekirbi Betzesim Yitzrayim and Betzesim Yerushalayim. It's everything that happened when we left Mitzrayim, the opposite happened when we left Yerushalayim, and goes back and forth until Ace finishes, until I come back to Yerushalayim. There's a special tsar expressed in it. When people have a fight, let's say somebody that you meet under adversarial circumstances, you're both vying for the same thing, whatever it is, somebody had an argument with and so on. It's difficult. It's a fight, and there's ill will, and there's all sorts of blows or whatever it is, and that's difficult. There's a whole new dimension of tsar when it was somebody who, when somebody that I was in love with, and we had a very good relationship, and then it turns against me. The person throws back the ava and with barbs on it. It's very, very hurtful. It's very terrible, because it's like you can taste things more sour when there's a sweet background to it. It brings out the sharpness of the what's happening now by contrasting it to what was. So here was a person who had once told me, I admire this about you, and now he turns back and says, this is the most disgusting thing, or whatever it is. I was at some point, once had the difficult setting, I was sitting and watching somebody whose house had broken apart, sitting with a big stack of pictures and shredding them. And I was watching this person, and I was standing from behind. I didn't think the person noticed me at the moment when I came in. And the person had a picture of a happy family event, and you would see a glimmer of living through it again, and some of that av and simcha, and then a terribly angry, bitter feeling into the shredder. And the taking some of the deepest, most warmest feelings of the same person that coddled you, smacks you now, is very hurtful. It's very distressing. When we say the same Ribbono Shalom who took us out of Mitzrayim did X, turned around and did the exact opposite and left Yerushalayim, it brings out the pain a lot more sharper than just speaking about the things that happened. Eish tukat bikirbi ba'alaisi alibi b'tzeisi mitzrayim shulchan u'menoira b'chola luktoira b'tzeisi mitzrayim elo b'seifes b'tzeisi mitzrayim teiro sudo klei achem da b'tzeisi mitzrayim sasim b'simcha b'nasiyakim v'anacha b'shuvi l'ushalayim. Next, Kina is it's a kina that goes through the protis, every single element that was in the Beis Hamikdash. It's in line with what we spoke about when things aren't tsara, they fall apart, and we see each piece that's missing. This is in tremendous detail. There's another you see that the Balakina hinted at it. There's a musig of yodai rafu, rifin yodayim, when a person hears a tsar or a tsara, his hands can't function. He lost his hands. He starts off with etzpa oisei shafalu, that my fingers became weak. The hand and the finger are always, when you talk about the klal, you speak about the hand. When you talk about the prat, you speak about the finger. So normally when we speak in general terms, we talk about the yad, Hashem, the hoyabi. And when you speak about the pratim, you're speaking about, when you're talking about the pratim, you speak about etzpos dafka. So that's why he starts with etzpos eshafalu, and then goes up to list all of the different kelim and bits and pieces of the mikdash. Etzpos eshafalu v'shoy say naflu v'nei tziyon golu v'chotu. This is one more on the Gzeirus of Tatnu. One particular phrase that comes is towards the end. It speaks about what do they want to do. It says Bikesh Eker Rak Lakor Ula Aker. It's a play on the words Eker Aker, and he says what they want to do was just to be Eker. In other words, there's when you see a tree that has fruit on it and you want it, so that's normal, that's natural. But when you want to just be mashchis, the concept that we know that we call genocide means every milchama is a milchama for a purpose. I want his land, I want his work, I want this, that, or the other thing. So there's a certain tachlis, and I'm loichim as a chetimtza for it. But sometimes there's the ummah that has nothing for me. There's nothing I can get out of this ummah. They're nothing to give. They're not taking anything. But there's a koyach that I want to be oikirit me'asherish. And that koyach is the koyach. That's what they wanted to do. So. Again, up until the time of the Crusaders, when it was the first really organized Christian persecution, there was always fights and things, but they never came with a rotzen to be oiker. This is the beginning of Ritzoinus to be oiker, and that's what we talk about. They didn't want anything; they just wanted us not to be there. There's this next kina is the parsha of Zecharia, and it's something which I guess we need to read it inside. It's something which never ceases to shock. It's the pasuk about Zecharia Kohen. Yehoyada was the one who saved the Melech, saved the Melech Yoyash. And then it says that Yehoyada died, and Zecharia took over. He became the Kohen Gadol. It says, and they turned his heart from doing right, and then they got him to do Avodah Zarah. So it says, "Vayavdus Hashem v'satzavim v'yiketzav Yehuda v'yishlayim v'ashmosim zois v'yishlach b'hem neviim l'ashivim l'Hashem." Kadosh Baruch Hu sent neviim v'yudabam, and they testified against them. Leizinu, and they didn't listen. V'ruach alekim lofshes chay ben Yehoyada koyin, and chay ben Yehoyada koyin was filled with a tremendous a ruach alekim filled him, a ruach of kanoz. Vayamod malam vayom lehem koyam alekim lomatem oivim es mitzvah Hashem v'loisat slichu. Why are you being oivah veris? Ki azavtem as Hashem vayazev eschem. It's because you left HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're suffering. Vayikshu alav. They so they plotted against him. Vayigemuhu even b'mitzvas hamelach b'chatzar beis Hashem, and they stoned him in the beis hamikdash by the kings. By the king say so. This is the son of the person that saved him. Vayizacha yoyash hamelach hacheset v'shas yodai aviv imoy. Vayaregas benoy. Yoyash did not choose to recollect the chesed. Vayaregas benoy. Ukimoisoy. And as Charya died, Omai said, Yer Hashem v'yidroish, that let HaKadosh Baruch Hu see my blood and revenge it. And this is what it says, the blood boiled all the years. It's something, and the sense of the kinah is, you know, you keep coming with tiniest HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what you're hiding. This is a stain on Klal Yisrael. It says the amount of averis that were done. This was a Kohen, a Navi, in Beis Hashem, being Mechiech them against being Oiv Avodah Zarah, the son of somebody who saved your life, and you stone him here. There's a Yuta Tachtoina in this Maisa that is incredible. And that's why his blood boiled. The Ra'al says it wasn't Kipshuti, but the blood was Teveya Din. Midas HaDin was Teveya. This has to be... It can't be let go. There's some sort of nekama that's needed for it, and he refers to the Python. Well, here he talks about it, but in other places he said, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, they come and tell me, but what they did, they don't come and talk about it. So the importance of a person being open with himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of what he did. And understanding that if things are happening, then who knows what we're hiding. He was the one that it was his tefillah that allowed it to stop. The next one, there's a piece here. It says, Al tismichi yafti, it's pretty far in. Al Sheva Karni, Kinafalti Kamti Vashem Rezerani. It says, Hine Yasfeini Keli Hashem Zorani, Vigoleni Mimech Tsuri Hashem Rechorani. Gather to me, gather the God who spread us out will gather us in, and the God who sold me will beguile me. It's a certain, tenet of faith. If a person believes that the punishments and the tzaras came b'mikra, then it's just then mechateis HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be goyel. If the world is mikra and things just came about stam, then seeing a churban is a reason to think that building is much further away. If you hear that it's Kila Shabzorani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one, if we're spread out unnaturally, if Klal Yisrael is a klal that is spread out in all tfutzas tevel, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who sold us our enemies, then Kibli Yosek HaPoltosei, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be the one to take us back in. It's the same Yad Mechavin that spread us out will take us in, and the same Yad Mechavin that sold us will gather us in. So he's saying in the hearing the hashgacha in the tzaros of Klal Yisrael, we dehear automatically the geul in Klal Yisrael. Shchuas v'loy miyoyin ashlichi supayi kochi no v'goyzi v'ashlisi apayi. The next kinnah begins the final chelak of kinnahs, which is a lot about Eretz Yisrael, and it's something that we need to spend a few minutes talking about and understanding it. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Chemda. Chemda means a place that's desired. It's not a focus. In other words, if something tastes good, I desire it. There are types of, I can use the word desire as a sort of a verb for things that have a different, they have a tachlis. This car is desirable because it can do this, this, and this. This job is desirable because it pays this, this. So when I say desirable, I just mean it's a chetimtza. So the word chamad, when it's a verb, I want something. Why do I want it? I don't know. Maybe it tastes good, maybe it's expensive, maybe it's this. When it's called Eretz Chemda, means it describes something that's moishech a person to it. Just like the word chen doesn't have, as opposed to yoifi, where yoifi has a very clear, or at least more clear definition. Something is this color, this size, and this height, and so on. So yoifi has certain translations in terms of symmetry, in terms of color, and so on. Chen is something which means it's an attraction, and it doesn't have any specific reason or rhyme why it's like that. And that's why chemdas hamam and taiva is something which is, I like it because I like this piece of food because it gives me a pleasant taste in my mouth. So that's taiva. Chemda, like chemdas hamam, I want to make a lot of money, but I can't translate even exactly where I want to go with that. That's chemda. Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz chemda. It's something where, because it says chen mokum al yashver, chen yish al bayla chen mokum al yashver, in the chen of a person in his place is the chen of Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. Every country, every place has its tchunis, has its milus. Eretz Yisrael possesses that which attracts Klal Yisrael. My father would always say over, his mother, Chayente, my grandmother, was a woman, a big tzaddikus, a woman who lived in Europe, was killed in the war also. And when people would ask her, she was, a person was kolosik with doing toiv and so on, and sometimes they ask her, Chayente, is there something you're missing? And she would say, oh, if only I could see Eretz Yisrael once before I die. It's something that I feel, I and my whole dar feels, it's chaymetz ben yayin. Baruch Hashem, we get on a plane, off a plane, in a plane, on a plane, we like it, so it's fine. But the chemda, the tshuka of people feeling that this is their makom, and just like the Maral always says, just like the olul is mishtekik to the ilah, and doesn't really have a siba for it, except that this is the Ilis Olu. This is the Adama that we were tzameach from. This is where we're tzameach from, and that's our tshuka. It's a force that very deep in Klal Yisrael, and it should be deep in Klal Yisrael. And the problem with something like chemda is, and like taiva in that way, is that it comes before seichel, and therefore you can misappropriate it for different things. So just like if a person has a drill and you have the bits, and you can put with the same motor and the same device, you can put small bits and big bits and bits that take out screws and bits that screw in screws and so on. And we can do different things using the same koyach. The koyach of Eretz Yisrael, of harnessing those koyaches, are of Avos Eretz Yisrael, is something that is difficult to put it onto the right thing. One of the reasons why Gedolei Yisrael had so much opposition to the Zionist movement was because for the first time they latched onto something that has chemda. Just like the Haskalah before, to a lesser degree, Klal Yisrael has Avos Chochmah, and a tshuka for Chochmah, and Das, and they latched onto it and harnessed it to other Chochmahs. Here also, the tshuka for Eretz Yisrael, to harness it for a product that's very different that the payers that the soul is meant to produce is very, very dangerous, because you're harnessing into a tremendous koyach. And it's hard. When a person asks us, do you like Eretz Yisrael? We say yes. And the person asks, why? It's a hard one to answer. And Teisel and Rabbi Yehuda Levi, with his big neshama and big nefesh, gave us words, gave us a way to take those feelings. On the one hand, it's there to arouse chemda. Saying his words and living avas Eretz Yisrael and chemdas Eretz Yisrael through Rabbi Yehuda Levi is something which stirs our hearts. It moves us, and it also gives us the right words to express what that tshuka is coming from. The tshuka of every yid, the kshayrish of every yid is a neshama, and the tshuka of every yid, of every neshama, is the mischaba to the likus, where it comes from. That's the core tshuka. As a nation, the neshama of Klal Yisrael, what's a mischaba takarish baruch hu, and the makam achiba is Eretz Yisrael. And everything that we see in Eretz Yisrael, and this is what he writes about, is where where nevuah spouted from people's mouths, because nevuah is the chibur of a neshama in a very deep way to its shayrish, and so on. Rabbi Yehuda Levi gives us the ability to express avas Eretz Yisrael b'mloya with the right mechuvin. And that's why this period is so special. The other period to me afterwards also speak out, so, but this period, Rabbi Yehuda Levi's words are incredible in evoking chemdas Eretz Yisrael and in giving us the right words to articulate what is the chemda Eretz Yisrael that we was mishtaking for. One point it says, Boch kol behema voiv chokmu adeka chamor hoy lefanim v'nyor chamorayach. In other words, the general sense of Eretz Yisrael is it's a country. It's physical. There's true trees. There's fruit. There's animals. There's wars. It's a physical entity, but it's a different cut of physicality. The payers have kedusha in them. The payers of Eretz have trumas and maisris. And all of Mitzvot Tzuyos Ba'aretz, the Tzedek Yolim Ba, there's the Makom of Mishpat, the Makom of Din. So the way he describes it is, Boch kol behema va'oiv chokmu. Even an animal is a chacham, meaning the general chayma, the general behamiyus is also much better. Adei kachamor ha'lefanil b'yom ha'chamarayach. Your chamor ma like the chamor in Pirchas Ben Yor. In other words, Pirchas Ben Yor's chamor was a chamor. It had a din of a chamor, but it was a chamor that was of a whole different darga. So he says the milah Eretz Yisrael is that it's a physical place. It's a place where you engage in physical activity, but all of those physical activities have a ruchnius to them that doesn't exist in other places. Zion Kri Kol Tzori Gilod Tzirayich Ein Dai Leman Kol. That's not similar like that. At the beginning, it says, "Gam Anefutzim Kol Abek Tzoveis Im Dosh Shleimech Nesayich V'Nayich." It says before that, "Laila V'Yom Yidushun." Eretz Yisrael is the place where all tefillas go through Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a place where tefillas, it's Tel Shakol, Poyin Eler, it's Tel Falpiyos. The chiyuv is alamokim, but in the pnimius advarim, our tefillas for Eretz Yisrael itself, mikol katzva yisoylam, are also an oifin of kol pinah shatapoyne. The not only the fact that we face it Eretz Yisrael when we daven, but the fact that all our tefillas are mechuvim to Eretz Yisrael is part of what makes Eretz Yisrael the shayar through which tefillah goes. From Rami Rattenberg. Rami Rattenberg was one of our Taisvis, one of the Spal Taisvis in Gedolei Europe. We've spoken many times about his own story. But This was, they burnt, there was a Xeret to burn Sfarim, France, Paris. It's something which understanding who we are understands what we're mekainen on. We're mekainen on people. We're mekainen on Eretz Yisrael. We're mekainen on Sfarim. Somebody who, in other words, all the kinnis that we have, the things that we need to be mekainen on are things that there was a chibur of a neshama and a guf, and there was a pirut. Anything ruchnius that had a place in this world, the pirut, because anything that's physical, it's me'ofa ula'ofa. It's something which came from this world and stays in this world. So what's the difference if today it's a stone, tomorrow it's earth, the next day it's a potato, and the day after that something else? It's the same. Things that are ruchnius are indestructible, and therefore there's no makom kina for that either. The makom kina is for the things that there were times when there was a kesha between the two worlds, between the world of ruach and the world of geshem. And that's a chiddush, and that's something that with the siluk, it's nostalgic, it moves away. So a person who went around this world with a neshama, the neshama was a ruchnistic entity that functioned within a physical body, and that's something we mourn that it's gone, because now just the offer, the neshama is still alive, it's still in Ginzim Raimim, but it's no longer kosher to this offer. We mourn Eretz Yisrael, that there was Kedusha there, there's Ashras HaShchina on land, like we saw before. Even the Chamayr had in himself a nitzus of Chachma. Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash were physical mekaymis where there was a ruach of Hashem in it, and that's what we're mekaynein for. And then we're mekaynein for Svarim, where Dvar Hashem was on paper and ink, on parchment and ink, and it's destroyed means we don't have the Dvar Hashem anymore. That chelik of Torah and the destruction of the Sfarim is besides its own korban and the tsar that we have on the destruction of Sfarim, there's another tsar. Sfarim today are cheap, extremely cheap, and very easy to manufacture. In those days, each sefer was a fortune. And every time you were made a sefer, you were made learn the Torah, and you were made Torah from Klal Yisrael. There might be Sfarim we don't have anymore, and certainly many, many people couldn't learn because of our Sfarim. They did 24 wagons of Sfarim, which is a huge amount of Sfarim. And in those days, I mean, nobody, even later Tkufis, there were very few people that possessed an entire Shas. It was a churban in Talmud Torah, and in a certain sense set off a chain of events that destroyed the yishuv of Klal Yisrael in those areas of France and so on. Shal Yisufa Beish L'Shema V'Ilayich.